Our next speaker is Aaron Flaster, a philosophy major from Mill Valley, California. Aaron.
Mic check. So here we are, graduation. Graduation is a time for celebration, a time when we can absolve ourselves of that familiar uncertainty about what lies ahead. You may be expecting me to impart some words of wisdom or some humorous tales, but I am not that wise or that funny. Instead, I would like to focus on a compelling and controversial topic, the relationship between ethics and education. There is an intimate relationship between ethics and education, especially a liberal arts education. I do not expect to provide any answers, but I do hope to raise some interesting and compelling questions. The first question I would like to ask is this: what is the role of friendship in a good education? I presume that most of us find it hard to imagine a life without friends. One might even say that a life without friends is not worth living. Friends are important for a variety of reasons. Friends offer advice, support, some degree of emotional affection. Friendship is a valuable part of living well, but what is the connection between friendship and education? I think there are two points to make here. First, a liberal arts education has helped us think about how to choose our friends. If a liberal arts education has helped us how to think, then presumably it has helped us think about any area of life. If we are better thinkers, then we can better evaluate our reasons for developing and maintaining friendships. For instance, when we first arrived at Lewis and Clark, we were presented with a large group of intelligent and interesting individuals. From this group, we each chose a small subset as our friends. I assume that most of us chose our friends by finding people with similar interests and lifestyles. That seems like a reasonable way to develop friendships. But how should we choose our friends? Should we seek people out on the basis of their interests? Should we seek people out on the basis of their character? This second suggestion sounds puzzling. How would you find friends on the basis of character? Would you ask someone how much community service they've done or which virtues they're trying to cultivate? That would be rather bizarre. Second, our friends have helped educate us by influencing our beliefs and aspirations. A good education should challenge our beliefs, and this is precisely what friends do. Our friends have shaped and questioned our beliefs because we spend time together and share in thought and discussion. Friends also help us avoid bad ideas. Friends tell us when we are wrong, and they provide a different perspective on our ideas and aims. Friends also shape our emotions. They send us into fuming rampages and bring us to tears. In short, friends shape who we are. This seems to be why so many parents and people say, the friendships you form in college are one of the most valuable parts of your education. I agree with this statement, and here is one anecdote that shows why. It was not until Lewis and Clark that I met someone who said he would gladly go into debt if he would be able to meet the friends he has here at Lewis and Clark. That is pretty remarkable. But what makes the friendships we form in college different from the ones we had growing up? One difference is that the friends we had growing up got to know us under very different conditions than the friends we have at Lewis and Clark. The friends we had growing up got to know us as awkward middle schoolers and self-centered high schoolers. Most of us are quite different from our middle school and high school selves, and that difference shows up in our relationships. We develop amazing friendships in college because we are just much more interesting and mature than our teenage selves. Here's the second question that I would like to ask. Does a good education require thinking with other people? A good education does require other people because a good education should improve one's ability to reason, and reasoning well requires other people. We need other people to reason well because we need other people to tell us when we are wrong, to expose our circular claims and shape our naive aspirations. We need other people because we often make mistakes. But we don't need other people just because we are wrong about most things most of the time. We also need other people when we get things right, when we solve a problem or come up with a novel idea. Working with other people can help good ideas become great ideas and reveal how something bears interesting relation to other ideas and problems. In other words, good ideas do not come from sitting alone in a room. Good ideas come from collaborative endeavors. This notion that we need other people is a point about ethics because living well also requires other people. Living well requires other people because living well involves reasoning, and reasoning well requires other people. On the contrary, there is often this clinging notion that I can do it on my own. This is a pernicious and often tacit model of education that circulates throughout higher education and our culture in general. It is the notion that being well educated is like being a lone wolf, someone with a sharp and cunning ability that does everything on their own. The story has some intuitive appeal, but it is deeply mistaken. Being well educated is not like being a lone wolf. In fact, it is quite the opposite. Being well educated is like being a member of the pack, someone that encourages collaboration and recognizes that their flourishing involves other people. The deep point here is that thinking for yourself is not the same as thinking by yourself. You can think for yourself without thinking by yourself. In fact, the best way to think for yourself is by thinking with others. Thinking with others does not mean that you are letting other people do the work for you. Thinking with others is more effective than thinking by yourself because you can argue with other people. Arguing with yourself is not much of an argument. Another reason why the lone wolf model of education fails is that a good education depends on having the right role models. Role models help us form good habits and aim at the right goals. Anyone can be a role model. Peers, professors, parents, and of course, professors. The people that inspired us to embrace intellectual pursuits, that made us furious at times, but also instilled us with a deep sense of humility. The people that have changed our lives. Whoever has been a role model, the important point is that we could not have role models without other people. In defense of the lone wolf model of education, one could argue that every person can be their own role model. We don't need other people as role models because we can just imagine better versions of ourselves. For instance, I can just imagine a better Aaron and aspire towards this ideal Aaron rather than trying to be like one of my friends or professors. I agree that oftentimes we can and should imagine better versions of ourselves and aspire towards those ideals. Sometimes it can be more effective to aspire towards a better version of oneself than aspiring towards another person. But oftentimes, the way we imagine a better version of ourselves is by seeing admirable qualities in other people. So even if we are aspiring towards a better version of ourselves, we imagine a better version of ourselves by using the qualities that we find in others. In short, role models require other people. Finally, the third question about ethics and education. What is the relationship between acquiring a good education and developing a good character? Any education that focuses on character is treated as a moral education. I think a liberal arts education can improve one's character, but it sounds strange to say that a liberal arts education is a moral education. If someone asked you what kind of education you received at Lewis and Clark, you would not say, "Well, I received a moral education." Presumably, you would say, "I received a liberal arts education." So does a good education improve one's character? On the one hand, it is clearly false that a good education improves one's character. A good education cannot improve one's character because character traits cannot be taught. We can learn about admirable character traits and understand why certain traits are virtues, but character traits arise from habits. In order to actually develop a certain character trait, we have to do the hard work of changing our habits. On the other hand, a good education can improve one's character, not by instilling virtuous character traits, but by providing a toolkit that one can use to develop virtuous character traits. This toolkit contains a variety of skills, but the most important is one's ability to reason. Reasoning well is essential to moral progress. We need to reason well because our beliefs and desires influence our actions, and therefore our habits. In other words, reasoning well about our beliefs and desires will help us make good decisions and form good habits. If we form good habits, then we are well on our way to developing a good character. In conclusion, I hope I have not sounded too moralized. My only intent was to raise some important questions about the relationship between ethics and education. I think our time at Lewis and Clark has made us better educated and better people. But as time passes, we will probably get things wrong a lot. We may regret things not done or things not done well. We may wish we had done things differently, but fortunately, we are just starting out. Even if hard times lie ahead, we will be able to move forward. Lewis and Clark has shaped our hearts and our minds and prepared us for the journey ahead. Every day has been an opportunity to learn something new, something that will change our beliefs, our characters. We have grown up here. Our professors and peers are not just acquaintances, they are family. So trust your education, because we only have one chance to flourish, and that chance is now. Thank you.